This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Happy Monday, everybody, as we welcome you back into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings, live on VSiN and DraftKings Network alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you, just a couple of days away from the first round of the NFL Draft. We've got the NBA and NHL postseason rolling on. My Golden Knights in action tonight, and your 76ers, Michael, trying to make it a 1-1 series here against the Knicks. All good stuff coming up. See that positivity?
I can't wait. You know, I love it. You know, but you gotta really say that there's certain franchises, when they're good, it's good for the entire league. Like, if Washington could ever get good, and I have no hopes for that, having been a 76er fan since he's owned the team. You know, Washington, the Raiders in the NFL, when they're good, it makes the league better. And when the Garden is behaving like it behaved on Saturday midnight, you know, Saturday early evening, there's nothing better in sports. I mean, it's the mecca of all. I mean, everybody who's anybody plays there. They draw there. I mean, Sinatra had his name on the billboard. It's just great, right? And when the Knicks are good, the league's good. It just makes it better. It's like when the Bulls are good in Chicago, it makes everything better. And I love that. I really love that, because that's part of the league's fabric that you constantly want to kind of have this generation experience. Mm. You know, you want them to experience the Knick teams that I grew up watching with Willis Reed and all the great players that came through there, Clyde and Earl Monroe, and, you know, those great, tremendous teams that they had. You want to feel that. And I kind of had, you know, I always had a walk down memory lane the other day just enjoying it.
It's unfortunate then that they have to be playing your Philadelphia 76ers here in the first round. No. You say no, but it is, Michael, because this is a team that when Joel Embiid is healthy, you think about the potential and you think about how strong they could be. The evidence of the wins and loss record with him on the court speaks volumes. What we saw in the time that he had to be off of the court with the knee injury in game one of this series, it said a lot. They're getting six in this spot against the Knicks. Right. What's your feel for tonight's game? I know the Maxi questionable also plays into that.
I am going to answer your question with a question, because you're really smart and you're a really good handicapper and you really understand odds and percentage. You've grew up with it your whole life. So when you use the term when Embiid is healthy, you have to quantify that term, because if there was a history of durability, you wouldn't have to put when Embiid is healthy. Sure. And so all those things you said are true after you get past when he's healthy. But you have to quantify the when healthy. Mm-hmm. Like, do you honestly believe that he's going to play tonight 40 minutes and be able to dominate the game for that long? Of course you don't. A buddy of mine sent me a text that one of his buddies was a Knick fan. And he wrote him back and said, don't worry, Embiid will be hurt in the second quarter. And that's what ended up happening. And so you as a handicapper, how are you handicapping it knowing, as smart as you are, knowing that he's not going to stay healthy for the game?
I mean, the past experiences of what we've seen in the playoffs period kind of dictate that thought process as well, Michael. But no, I'm with you, because it's not only the knee, but it's what we talk about a lot on the show is the conditioning and the general fatigue that he has. You put the two of those things together, it doesn't exactly smell a recipe for success. I wonder if we've gotten a little bit too broad here now that we're up from 5 to 6 point favorites for the Knicks, but I'm just going to stay away and try to support your team from afar, because I would, I like a happy Michael, and it's draft week. We're supposed to be excited. We're supposed to be talking about good things. I want good things for you.
I'm happy as, I mean, Millie gets so mad at me because I'm happy when they're losing. Like, I'm a fan, but I'm also a realistic fan. I know the end of the movie. Like, I've seen the movie before. As many times as I sell Santino to not go to the toll plaza, he goes anyway, right? I tell him, don't go, and he goes. I tell everybody, don't trust Embiid. They do. They fall in this trap. They fall right into, he's so good. Oh, my God, look at him. 8 rebounds, you know, meanwhile, they 23 for the, you know, it's just the parts of the game. So look, all that being said, give him credit, and I do, and give Nick Nurse credit, who's managing a very difficult situation, is to be able to be in that game, being out-rebounded on the offensive end, is remarkable. Yeah. It really is remarkable. And Tobias Harris played like crap. Oubre didn't play very well. They didn't get any help from the bench at all, other than Paul Reed's 11 minutes. So I'm going to be interested to see his movement. Now, here's the other concern I have for tonight. Can you count on Lowry to have the kind of game he had last game? I'm not so sure about that. You know, Lowry's a veteran guy, and usually we see guys that are older, they have a good game, and then they come down a little bit, they get a little rest, they have a better game.
6-point spread again, total 205. Michael, so every day on the show, we do What's on Michael's Mind. Is today's edition, is it 76ers and Phillies related? Is it NFL draft related? I'm very curious where we're going.
We're going today. I was so infuriated the other day. I mean, I had to save this one for what's on my mind. Did you see the Phillies uniforms the other day? Did you see this atrocity that they put out there? Did you see this? Elliot, put this up here. This has nothing to do with Phil. I mean, they're trying to sell it as the Liberty Bell. Like, what are we talking about here? Are we a softball team? Like, what is this? What is this? Are you kidding me? This is on my mind. This is horrendous. This is the worst campaign I've ever seen in my life. You call yourself a franchise of historical value and you put the players in this? If I were the White Sox, I'd have told, don't take the field. Don't take the field. We're not playing against that. That's a softball team. Are you kidding me?
Bryce Harper seems to like it in the picture.
That's the only thing on my mind.
You know who's
nobody likes it. Not even Philly fans. You could give away free hot dogs with this uniform, and they don't want to go watch it.
What's funny is when I was looking at the picture of this earlier, I was like, I wonder if Michael likes these. And so there we go. We have the answer here. My favorite, I don't know if you just don't like the theme of them in general, like the City Connects as far as what teams are trying to do there. The San Diego Padres one, it's all like pink and neon and colored and stuff. But I actually love those ones. I think that the Padres have a really nice City Connect. Philly, not so much. The bell is a very interesting look on the hat as well.
That's just trying to make it that we're going to get away with blue. I mean, see, people get mad at owners for wanting new stadiums, right? And I take the opposite approach to that, because I think when you build a stadium in a downtown area, it rejuvenates every area. To me, this is when owners are greedy. When they make the fans buy a dumb, mm-hmm. ugly uniform like this, this is greed. This is what really drives me. You're only putting this out there to sell merchandise. It has nothing to do with your team.
Well, Michael,
be so goddamn greedy.
That's the same thing with all these NFL jerseys that are coming out. And you're like, I don't really, the Jets' new jersey, do I even notice anything particularly different? But it's got the new name and it's got the new whatever. And it's just something else for fans to buy. That's just how it is. That's what we do in these leagues. You know that better than anyone.
I get it. But to me, at least you're staying within the color lines of your franchise. The Phillies are red and white. I mean, look, put something out there. Like when the 76ers wear those Spectrum uniforms, okay, which they honor the old Spectrum, I think they're wonderful. I think they're great. Look, the Sixers are a team that really has no identity. They change uniforms like everything. I mean, one time they're black and gold. Now they're back to red, white, and blue. I mean, who knows what their colors are? It's just up for grabs. But I get it. I understand it. But this is a money grab, Stormy. It's embarrassing.
It's not my favorite. I'm going to be honest with you. It's not my favorite. But something that should brighten your day as we put those Phillies jerseys to the side is that it is NFL draft week. And so this whole hour, we're going to have a ton of draft talk. Thor Nystrom is going to join us in a little bit as well. We'll get his thoughts. We've got Step Into My Office with players and GMs coming in to get a talking to. But I'm curious, just from your perspective this week, like, what does the Monday of draft week signify? What are the big talking points that are going on in these rooms across the league right now? What do we need to know?
If I had a nickel, maybe a dime, no, a penny, if they still have making them anymore, for this week being, hey, here's what I heard. Here's what I heard. 1,000 people have heard something, right? I'm deaf in one ear and I don't hear anything. 1,000 people have heard something. Here's what I'm hearing. Here's what I hear about this team. Here's like, and you know what you hear? You hear nothing. Like, it's not true. Like, you should start this week off by saying there's no news. There's nothing to hear. Now, Schefter put out a draft note column. Great. you know, and a lot of the stuff he put in that column we have talked about before, and some of it we haven't. The Falcons could get fined for their tampering. Philadelphia could lose a draft pick for their tampering. We'll see if that manifests itself. But for the most part, that kind of is a news that's been circulating around. The Rams could be interested in a quarterback. So I think to me, there's validity in some of this stuff. However, that being said, this is a week to ignore everything. This is a week that they're trying to get you to react. This is a week you have to keep your poise. You can't put on the ugly Philly uniforms this week. You've got to keep your poise and patience.
I think so much to last year, Will Levis specifically, and the Reddit post that came out of I heard so-and-so that he's going to go number one, and just how the odds flipped so significantly. And of course, we know how that all played out. He ends up going first pick in the second round. So yes, definitely temper your expectations for the things that you hear and that you read this week. But with that said, something that Bill Belichick said on Pat McAfee just last week was that those 12 hours ahead of the draft are when typically what you hear can be very accurate. You mentioned earlier that the league has encouraged teams to keep things closer to the vest. Do you think that that 12-hour window will still have leaks?
Right. But I think what happens is in that 12-hour window is the rubber's got to meet the road, right? You can't bluff anymore. As Al Davis would say to me all the time, at some point, kid, you're going to have to play in the game. And that's what we got this week. Draft week is you're going to have to. There's no more bluffing. There's no more Joe Sheen believing that Tommy DeVito is going to be okay at quarterback. Don't worry. We got it. It's all fine. We're good at quarterback. No. The rubber meets the road this week, and that's where the last 12 hours, that's when reality sets in.
Yeah, they say they feel they're comfortable with Tommy. The Raiders think that Aiden O'Connell deserves an opportunity to compete for the starting job. It's all interesting. We got Steph into my office coming up next. Stick with us.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We know you guys love the VSiN Betting Splits page, and for a two-week exclusive offer, we are giving our betting splits out for free when you sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN Betting Splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in the action as it happens. You can find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets, where the money doesn't match the public opinion. It's not just for today's games, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited-time offer, though. VSiN.com/splits is how you can get your free two-week access to VSiN's betting splits.
Appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal, son. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk when you're Step Into My Office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now. Jaden Daniels, because boy, Michael, have his odds been on the move.
What's he doing in here?
Yeah, well, we need to figure out what's going on with him, and I'm hoping that you can help here. He was as high as a -330 favorite to go number two overall, as low as -125. And as I look at the DraftKings odds screen right now, he's hitting -240. There's been a lot of speculation that he's unsure about his fit in Washington. Everyone's drawing the connections to Antonio Pierce with the Las Vegas Raiders, but he conceded, I don't know how they're going to pull that off. How should Daniels be approaching draft week with his future in the hands of others?
I think he should just focus, Jade, you should just focus on becoming the best player you can and hope you go number two. Because number two comes with more money. It comes with a great opportunity for you to be a starting quarterback on a rebuild team. And you can become a face of a franchise that needs a huge, huge face of a franchise. There's been no... The best time to come into a franchise is when they've hit rock bottom. And let me say this to you, Jaden. This is rock bottom. This franchise has been a disaster since Daniel Snyder came in and the punter took over. For the last 24 years, it's been bad. And so now you have a chance to get back to the historical moments that were once this franchise. They were called something different, but that was a great franchise. And it's a great football town. It's a tremendous football town. They love football in Washington. And there's no other place to love football. So you have an opportunity that most players would really welcome. Don't let the present day evaluation affect the long-term evaluation. Go in there with an open mind. Look, the Raiders, certainly you love Antonio Pierce. You love Marvin Lewis. But the NFL is not college. You can't pick where you go. And to be able to go to a team like Washington with historical value, you should do it and jump on it.
How realistic is that, that the Raiders could trade up to a position to get him?
I think it's really unrealistic, but I think Jaden Stormy was the byproduct of Reddit this year. Mm. I think there's been a lot of Reddit stuff going on that the agent's trying to manipulate Washington, that he went on the visit to Washington and he misbehaved. I don't know if he took one of their Super Bowl trophies and drove it around the parking lot like George Costanza did. I don't know what he did, but that's been all the rumor and speculation to try to get them to say, well, this kid's a jerk. We're not going to take him. Like, I don't believe any of that crap. I just don't believe it, right? And I think the kid has made it. Remember the rumor was he didn't want to go to New England. It was too cold. Like, all this stuff that comes out, unless it comes directly from the player's mouth. And the kid's a good kid. You know, he's worked hard. He won a Heisman Trophy. He's worked hard to be recognized as the second best player or the second best quarterback in any draft. So, you know, a lot of it came from the internet. And it came when they brought the four players in. And it started right after that. I hear this guy was a jerk on his visit. And then the number moved. It's a Reddit movement is what we should call that from now on.
Yeah, there was that. And then, of course, the agent quote tweeting the Pro Football Talk comments from Florio of, if you know that this is your guy, why are you bringing in all of these other players? And so there's a lot of just hearsay and people's thoughts on an issue without actually knowing what really transpired. And at least what I know personally in my interactions with Jaden Daniels and his family in the past, it does not seem like he would be the type of kid to not make a good impression in that setting. I'll just leave it at that. Again, he is -240 to be the number 2 overall selection, followed by North Carolina's Drake May at +205, JJ McCarthy +850. Another team that is quarterback needy is certainly the Denver Broncos, because we know their current quarterback room is not going to be the solution long term. Sean Payton's got a track record suggesting that he'll stop at nothing to get the guy that he wants. But is that guy in this year's class? They're currently sitting at number 12 overall, presumably outside of striking distance from the class's top three quarterbacks. If you're talking to Sean Payton right now, are you advising him to be patient and practice patience this year, or be aggressive and go get your guy, Sean?
Well, I think it's hard to convince Sean not to be aggressive, because he's aggressive by nature, and he knows that he can always replace next year's draft picks with the year after draft picks, and he's done it his whole career at New Orleans. But my advice to Sean would be, look, you take the guy that you believe in, you trust this guy the most, and you'll fix this guy to become a consistent good player. And forget about what everybody else thinks about the quarterback, because, Sean, no one thought Steve Young was any good when Bill Walsh traded a fourth-round pick for him, or a third-round pick and $1 million of Eddie DeBarlo's money. Nobody thought he was any good. Nobody thought Jeff Garcia was going to be any good when he went there. So the reality of it is your system is very good for players that have certain skill sets that Bo Nix, or maybe, you know, J.J. McCarthy or someone that you like fits, and trust your gut on that and then just build it. But it's pretty clear that's what you're going to do, because as I look at this from the outside, knowing that you only have Jarrett Stidham on the roster, I can tell you're going to pick one, and I know you'll make him a good player. So count on yourself to be able to make that come true.
What do you mean? Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci aren't the answer in Denver? You're crazy.
Look, I gotta tell you, Stormy, Joe Shane said that Tommy DeVito's the answer. God knows that. I mean, look, I think the Giants love quarterbacks who can't throw for over 7 yards per attempt. I just think they love it.
Oh, that's cold.
You know,
cold.
Tommy DeVito's at 6'2", and Daniel Jones is at 6'9". I mean, they just love, checkdowns. Here, throw it over here, check down. Okay, we're punting now. Whose fault's that?
That's cold, just like Tommy Cutlets eventually went cold.
I'm cold. You took a shot at Chris today. What did you call his Carolina Panthers today?
I don't
Poor
know.
Guy got hit.
I don't know
so
what you're talking about. Chris, and the Panthers aren't catching strays. That's fine. We're just going to move on. Next topic here, Los Angeles Rams. So we all remember F them picks, right? Well, this year, the Los Angeles Rams are making their first round selection since they took Jared Goff #1 overall in 2016 with Matthew Stafford and Jimmy G on the roster right now. Matthew Stafford aging. According to Adam Schefter, the Rams could be eyeing a quarterback at number 19. Do you think that makes sense for the Rams to take a swing on a quarterback?
Yeah, and I reported this about a month ago on the GM Shuffle. We talked about it, and Penix kind of fits what Sean McVay does really well. It got my mind thinking when I watched Penix play, how he throws all those over routes, how he's really accurate on the third level, how I would think that Sean McVay would really, really entice to watch this kid play. And look, the time to draft one is now for the Rams. I mean, because if Stafford gets hurt, and we saw it last year, the Rams team just fell apart. It really did. It, even though they had Nacua and they had Cooper Kupp and they have all these, you know, skill guys, when they went to the backup, now they signed Garoppolo, who is going to miss two games, and Jimmy didn't play well at all last year. So there's some doubt there. I think to me, at the end of the day, they this is the perfect time to take one. If one gets to him, or knowing Sean, if he loves somebody, you know, he's not afraid to do whatever he's got to do to get him. He's not. And I think this will be driven by Sean more than Les, because last year, Les really wanted Stetson Bennett. And they ignored all the signs off the field of Bennett. And it kind of bit him in the butt. Bennett went away. We don't know where he went. You know, we have no idea. And so now he's back with the team, but I don't think he's what they believe to be the answer when you watched him in the preseason or what you think moving forward. So they need one. If they don't get one in this draft, and we don't think there's one past the first round, where are they going if Stafford, who has been having trouble staying healthy, if he's able, if he gets hurt, we're in trouble.
It is an interesting discussion. Offensive lineman is the favored position for that first selection from the Rams. Quarterback, 12-1. So some potential value if you think that that is a realistic option. Let's have Monty Austin Fort stepping in to the office, GM of the Arizona Cardinals. Adam Schefter reporting that the Cardinals are in the catbird seat. Very advantageous position in this year's draft heading into Thursday. Several teams obviously expected to trade into that number four overall pick. Marvin Harrison Jr. -225 and odds on favorite to go for. But that could change, obviously, if Arizona moves off the pick. How should Austin Fort be handling all the trade calls he will surely be having coming in this week?
Well, I think what he's got to do at first is say to whoever calls, if a team outside of the top 10 calls, basically say we're not interested, and then make them call back. Say no a lot. Saying no a lot increases the value. And so say no, and then somebody will call you back, because no one takes no for an answer until the pick turns in. And then I would tell Monty to just keep waiting, keep saying no, keep people in tune. Keep the people like the Giants, who Schefter reported today that they're actively trying to trade up, even though they don't want a quarterback. Wonder why they're trying to trade up. I have no idea. They got Tommy DeVito, Stormy. Why would they trade up? They got Daniel Jones. I don't know. Joe Shane told me this. This is what he just told me. I don't know. I would just say no, no, no all the time, and then go forward with it. And then wait until the draft day. I got 10 minutes, and when I get draft day, we're going to find out who's playing for real and who's not.
They and the Chargers, certainly the bells of the ball here when it comes to trade opportunities. But even the Patriots are, quote, open for business. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Our draft week extravaganza here on the Lombardi Line rolls along. Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonatoni with you. Very excited to keep this draft conversation going with good friend of the show, Thor Nystrom, who joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line, NFL draft analyst, betting pros. You can follow him on X at ThorKU. And there's so much movement, so many reports and theories and ideas that are coming out that are moving markets, Thor. How are you keeping track of it all, my friend? Welcome in.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's like I have money in Dogecoin. You always get the alerts of it's down, it's up, it's down, it's up. It's the same thing with the number two slot market. And then each one, you know, down the line, the odds of these things, it changes seemingly by the hour, depending on what the big draft analyst has said. Mm-hmm. Right. Like it may start out as the big favorite. Then Jaden Daniels was a 3-1 favorite as of what, 4 or 5 days ago. Then it would have gone down to Jaden Daniels and May were essentially even. Now it seems like in the past 3-4 hours, Jaden Daniels has gone back up to being the prohibitive favorite again. So bouncing all over the place.
Well, all right. So let's get, how would you see him coming off the board? Let's just say it's your board, it's your world. Where are you on all these guys?
For the number two slot, I've always, like, my action on that has been on Jaden Daniels. I think he is a better fit for what Cliff Kingsbury traditionally looks for in a quarterback. You look over the last 9 that he has had starting, going back to Houston, going back to Texas A&M, his time at Tech, and then in the NFL. The guys that he looks for, the guy that I have faded in the number two slot has been Drake May. the dark horse that I've always thought is in play for it is JJ McCarthy as well. But the guy that I have all the action on is Jaden Daniels at the plus money propositions. Obviously, those are no longer available. You could have gotten even money up till it seems like early this morning, but now it is back to the juiced odds. So I don't know if that is bettable anymore.
Yeah, and we talk about all of these insiders making comments that move markets so rapidly. It was Daniel Jeremiah and Adam Schefter both essentially back-to-back on Pat McAfee today saying that their belief is that it'll be Jaden Daniels who goes two. Even Daniel Jeremiah said, everything in my gut tells me it should be Drake May, but everything that I am hearing from people is that it'll be Jaden Daniels who, again, as of right now, sits minus 240 as the second overall selection, followed by Drake May, who's now plus 205 price. We got some breaking news a moment ago as well. Speaking of these insiders, Ian Rappaport reporting that former Jet starting quarterback and number two pick Zach Wilson, who we were just talking about in the commercial break, is apparently on the move. Sources say he's being traded to the Broncos, hoping for a fresh start. So I'll start with you, Thor. Now, knowing that Zach Wilson is in that room, a lot of talk was about will Sean Payton go for a quarterback in the draft. Do you think that that changes or alters the draft strategy now, or will that still be a need, even bringing in Zach Wilson?
Yeah, it can't change it whatsoever. I'm surprised the Jets got anything for Zach Wilson, but desperation is a stinky cologne in Denver, and they had to do something at the quarterback position. They assuredly are not done. You can't go into the season with Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson as your quarterback room. I would expect them to use another pick on the quarterback position, but they're short on draft equity as is. So I'm very curious to see what the compensation was for Zach Wilson. Maybe a vesting pick in a future year, depending on if he's on the roster. I would be surprised if that was a pick this year, but I guess we'll see since it's just breaking.
Thor, I would think it's not. I don't think Sean's going to have up any assets this year to sign him and take on the cap that he has to take on the cap charge. I'll be interested to see if the Jets are going to pay any of his cap hit in terms of his base salary. But it's kind of a shrewd move by the Broncos because it does deflect the fact that maybe they aren't as desperate. Maybe they can wait because right going into this and all day today, I talked about all they have is Jarrett Stidham on their roster. So not that I'm a Zach Wilson fan by any means, but it does add that it's better than Ben DiNucci. And so, you know, and he won a game out there with the Jets against the Broncos 2 years ago. So I don't think it's going to deter Sean. I can't imagine they paid very much for it. But I think ultimately,
Before you go to defense, I'll hit you with what it is. It's a late round pick swap, a sixth for a seventh, and the Jets will pay some of Wilson's $5.5 million salary.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I mean that they had to. That's what they had to do. I mean, so basically, as you said, Thor, it was for the old salami sandwich. It's free. It was basically they just gave it away. Which is sometimes the salami sandwich isn't a bad deal, right? All right, let's go defense here for a second. How many first round picks do you have on your defensive board?
Around 11, 12, somewhere in there. You know, really? It's right around where that prop number is. I think the interesting one that I've hit pretty hard recently as far as the prop market is the first defender off the board. I think the odds board on that has been off with Dallas Turner being the prohibitive favorite against the entire field. I have some nitpicking issues of Dallas Turner's game, but even people that like him, I don't know how you can justify Dallas Turner against the entire field. Particularly, you look at the teams that would be leading the dance on that. Atlanta, it's just been like the free spot putting Dallas Turner there. I don't know that Atlanta takes the edge rusher. If they go defense, they absolutely could take cornerback. I've heard that they like Quinyon Mitchell. I think Quinyon Mitchell's in play. You can get crazy juiced odds on Quinyon Mitchell as the first defender off the board. I also think Leatu Latu, just apples to apples in the edge group, absolutely is in play against Dallas Turner. The only equation with Leatu Latu is, what did the teams hear on his medicals? If they got okay news on the medicals on Latu, I don't know on what metric Dallas Turner is better than Latu. Certainly he is not on the field. It has not been the last couple of years. I don't know how you top what that kid has put up the last couple of years. So I'm fading that. Murphy is another guy who is coming on strong down the home stretch. But as far as the long shot for that, Quinion Mitchell is the guy that I put my money on. The lower odds, I've certainly put some on Law 2 as well.
Were you surprised, with that said, to see how the juice has come down on Quinion Mitchell? Because this time last week, he was around minus 190, $2 favorite. Now just minus 125 with Terrion Arnold, gaining a little bit of steam there.
You know, as far as the first cornerback, depends on the team that leads that dance. If Atlanta goes, the thing that I've heard is the guy they prefer is Mitchell. If Atlanta is not the team that takes the first cornerback, some other teams that might prefer Mr. Arnold. They're two different kinds of cornerbacks, right? Like Mitchell, he provides for you that prototypical build with the awesome athletic profile and the 4.3 speed. Then he played so well down in Mobile, but he did his domination in the MAC playing the off coverage. So that's sort of the question with his evaluation. Arnold's not as good of the athlete, but he comes from the Nick Saban defense, and he has such a good natural backpedal. The technique is so good with him. The coaches rave about him. He's so smart. He's good in the interview rooms, everything like that. So he's going to be the guy the coaches are pounding the table for. Mitchell's the guy that the scouts and the guys that project forward are going to be banging on the table for. Just comes down to the which team is the one that leads the dance on that. But as far as for the first defender on the board and the odds that you can get it at, that's why I like Quinion Mitchell at that juice price that you can get for him.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's hard to find man-to-man guys. And I think if you can play off, you can play on depending on your size and ability. And I think Mitchell certainly can. And he appeals to the man-to-man teams. I mean, the two Alabama guys, when you break their tape down, they don't play enough man-to-man to make you believe that Nick thinks they're man-to-man corners. And if Nick doesn't think they're man-to-man corners, why the hell are we taking them as man-to-man corners? That's a problem. How about Murphy? Where do you see Murphy going in this draft?
I think he goes anywhere in the teens. I think he starts to go and get in play. But it wouldn't surprise you if it's anywhere right around that top 10 thing, too. If he's the guy that's surprised by going a little bit above where people think, because I think he is the interior defensive lineman in this class. And then there's a little drop off. I know some other people like Johnny Newton, but for me and for others, the way that we see it, it is Murphy has separated himself from the pack. Then you have a drop. Then it's some other guys. Mike, as you know, looking around at some of these position groups, and you have obviously done it inside of the rooms and inside the war rooms, having the boards going across, looking at the different position groups and having to do the three-dimensional chess thing. There's position groups in this class that are super deep. There's other ones that drop off real quick. The interior defensive line one, I would say, is the one that it starts to drop off quick. But you have ones like receiver. You know that one is super deep into day three, like in the early parts of day three for sure. Offensive tackle, offensive line class is super deep throughout day two. Other position groups like that. So I think that's how a guy like Murphy could end up going even higher than people are currently anticipating.
Thor, I have so many more questions, but we have to hit the break. Thank you so much for your time, my guy. Enjoy what
Thanks, Thor. Appreciate it. Great job.
Christmas this week.
Always a pleasure, guys. Appreciate it.
Thor Nystrom again. Check him out on X at ThorKU. All of the great work at Fantasy Pros, Betting Pros. Big fan of all of the great work that he puts in during this time of year as we are just a couple of days away from the NFL draft. We're going to hit the break. More draft talk as we wrap things up on the Lombardi Line coming up next. Stay with us.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From now through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use our code VSIN. New customers that do bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's the code VSIN, V-S-I-N, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. And it's funny because we had some breaking news that eliminated something that we were going to talk about in this block, was which was all the people coming out talking about Zach Wilson not being at, you know, voluntary workouts that are taking place with the New York Jets. Well, the Jets era for Zach Wilson is over now, as he has been officially traded, it appears, Michael, to the Denver Broncos for a late round pick swap, a 6th for a 7th. The Jets will pay some of Zach Wilson's salary here. Just your initial thoughts on the move here, because I feel like we talk so much on this show about getting a player and still needing a player. And that's exactly what the Broncos have done here.
Right. They're taking a flyer, right? They're just taking a flyer. They have no guarantee that he's going to make the team. And, you know, he's better than Ben DiNucci, I would say, probably, you know. But what's fascinating, Stormy, is we're sitting here discussing how all six of these quarterbacks are going to revitalize all franchises that go to them. And yet, you know, we know Mac Jones went for a Saturday pick. Justin Fields went for a Saturday pick. Right. Mm-hmm. We saw that Zach Wilson just went for a Saturday pick. Trey Lance went for a Saturday pick. I mean, it's Saturday in the park. We should get Peter Cetera to start singing. I mean, it's like none of these guys, they went for nothing. They got traded for nothing. Their value was rock bottom. And so what's to learn from this is, are you willing to overpay? I think Sean probably said, look, I, you know, Wilson's got some skill. We'll see how hard he wants to work. We'll see how dedicated he is. We'll take a flyer on it. And people will think that'll take some of the heat off us drafting a quarterback, which nobody's going to believe that, but maybe it will, and go into the draft and keep business as usual.
We have heard some of the coaches around the Jets organization say, whether they believe it or not, but say that they feel like he's somebody that still does have potential in this league, that, you know, maybe you just need a fresh start somewhere different when he initially requested a trade. Do you think that the Broncos could be that spot, that if that the Sean Payton, how good of a person is he to learn under to potentially get on the right side of his career?
Well, I mean, this is going to come down to not his skill set, right? This is not about Zach Wilson's skill. This is about Zach Wilson's work habits. This is about Zach Wilson's dedication. This is about Zach Wilson being a pro and not an amateur, right? Because his whole career at the Jets, he was an amateur. When you're a pro, you take your job seriously. And this is what Brady preaches constantly. The difference between a pro and an amateur, right? There is no second chance. You got to prove yourself. You got to work harder than everybody else. You got to be dedicated to your craft. Amateurs can come in and out and go. And I think that's really what it's going to take. If he goes in there and rededicates himself and says, look, I'm committed to being the best version. I'm not doing anything. My only job is football. Nothing else gets in the way of that. I'm going to become a great pro. I'm going to be a professional. Now he's got a chance. But if he goes into this, I got it, you got it, nobody's got it, no chance. And Sean will be frustrated with him and get rid of him. But it's up to him now. Look, we do know this. Players that have this mantra attached to them, this superstar, generational talent, when they get humiliated, you find out really whether what they have in terms of the character within them.
Yeah.
Are they willing to fight back? You know, we all need villains in our lives. We all need something that's going to motivate us to do better.
Yeah, and when you have an owner of the team that you are on say, we didn't have a backup quarterback, we need one, talking about Zach Wilson, even though he obviously came in as the backup quarterback and started the bulk of the season. Like, that's a pretty hard pill to swallow when you were drafted number 2 overall and thought that the world was going to be your oyster in a certain situation. So I hope for Zach Wilson's sake that he does heed that advice and be able to turn his career around and be a solid backup somewhere. Looks like as of right now, it is in Denver, but like we said, the Denver Broncos still likely to grab a quarterback in this draft, +115 favorite to have a quarterback with their first selection. They currently sit at number 12 overall. And it's Bo Nix is the player that we've seen largely connected with the Broncos, Michael. But if they go get a quarterback, who do you think is the best fit? Who do you think makes the most sense for Sean Payton? What might he be willing to give up to go get him?
Well, I think this is really important for people to understand. Sean Payton wants a quarterback who's going to do what he tells him to do. And not saying he wants a robot, but he wants somebody that if you do this, you take, and it's hard. It's not easy. If you do this, here's where we're throwing the football. You follow his course. You know, you follow his, your footwork leads you to the throw, right? That's the most important thing. Your footwork leads you to the throw. You don't have to worry about who the mic point is. You don't have to worry about anything. You just worry about your footwork leading you to the throw. And Russell couldn't do that. That's not Russell's game. Russell's game was a little bit more of a ad lib, loose play. You know, that's why everybody kept saying, let Russ cook. But when Russ wasn't cooking, he was at his best. You know, when the play broke down, then he made plays. That's what one of the things that would track Sean Payton to talent is the feet of the quarterback. So J.J. McCarthy would be somebody that I think he would be very interested in. Now, and part of it, too, is his character. McCarthy, I think Bo Nix's character. Like, I would not see Michael Penix fitting what he wants him to do because I don't think Michael Penix has got the kind of footwork to do it. Would Jaden Daniels do it? I'm not so sure about that either. Mm. You know, Drake May, I don't think so because Drake May's kind of a little bit of a potential all over the place. McCarthy and Nix kind of have the footwork and the quickness that can do it, and then he'll school them. And by taking Zach Wilson, it fits the same. I mean, that's what Zach Wilson has. He's got good feet. He's got a really good arm. He's got talent. Zach Wilson has – you don't be the second pick in the draft and not have talent. Zach Wilson's problems are – you know, he's got to have accountability and he's got to be willing to take coaching and he's got to work harder. But I think those two quarterbacks would be appealing to Sean.
Yeah, he's had moments. He's had flashes. But as we've said a few times on the program, flashes can get you fired, right? And so obviously things haven't worked out so far for Zach Wilson. We'll see if it can. You mentioned Michael Penix Jr., though, and we talked earlier a number of times about different nuggets that have come through this Adam Schefter column that was released on ESPN.com today. One small nugget that we haven't discussed yet was a note that Michael Penix Jr. could go as high as number 8 to the Atlanta Falcons, Michael. Are we buying that? Is that possible?
Well, I don't think Adam would have written it if he didn't get it from somebody within. And we know the Falcons organization leaks stuff. We know this. I mean, we've seen it. We don't have to look far. You know, we know it. I mean, it was in a column right there at ESPN.com. They got a great leak. I mean, their leak is bigger than the Titanic's leak. So there's no doubt they leak. But it would seem strange. I mean, I almost had a heart attack yesterday when we were doing the show when someone said that they might take a receiver. I almost had a Fred Sanford heart attack on that one. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? But look, taking a quarterback, I would not fault Kaiser Sose McKay or Super Bowl winner Fontenot for making that pick because at the end of the day, they're going to need one with Kirk Cousins because are we sure he's going to bounce back just like that from the Achilles? And if you want to sustain yourself within an organization, you better get one. And if they think Penix could be the guy, look, here's what we do know. Zach Robinson was in Los Angeles. Okay, and they were working on the quarterbacks before Zach Robinson got the job in Atlanta. So someone's driving the train, and it isn't Super Bowl winner Fontenot, and it's certainly not Kaiser Sose McKay. Somebody's saying, hey, this guy's really good. Now, he can get everybody else on board, but I think ultimately that's the case. I couldn't see him doing it, but it would make sense to do it.
I don't know if anybody has better nicknames, Michael, than you. I really don't.
Well, I mean, Rich McKay is like Jonathan Kraft now. There was just a report out that Jonathan Kraft is everything runs through him and he's running the draft in New England, which we all know he is. It's true. Now, of course, the Patriots are going to deny it. But it's that Kaiser Sose. I used to tell Al Davis this all the time, Stormy. I said, Mr. D, everybody just wants to be you. Everybody wants to run the team, but not run the team out in front. They want to run it from behind the scenes. They want to run it at Kaiser Sose. Oh, you know, here's what we're doing. And that's what's going on in New England. Not that Elliott's not doing – I love Elliott. Not that he's not doing a good job and all that, but Elliott's got to get permission from Jonathan, who's one of the most astute evaluators in the history of evaluations. Just ask him.
I know that we still have a couple days, but where you sit right now, what do you think is more likely, the trade of the pick or for them to take a quarterback?
I think it's for them to take a quarterback. I mean, they need one so badly. They need one. And if they trade out, where are they getting one? Now, the one thing that you have going for your favor when the owner's your GM and he's approving the trade, you got time. Now, one thing I do know, the owners will run for the hills as much as anybody. They can switch sides like a good Italian army.
No question about it, Michael. Hey, safe travels. Cannot wait to get you out here on the desk in Vegas.
I will see you Wednesday. Yes. Yes, sir. I will see you Wednesday. I'll be flying the American skies. Yes. Thanks, Stormy.
Thank you.
Good luck tonight.
Have a great day. Enjoy your 76ers.